Welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms, through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Good evening, good morning, good night, good second breakfast, whenever you are, wherever you are. My name is Laura Gonzalez, and I welcome you to Lunatic Mondays on CSMP, the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast. Tonight, I have a guest whom I adore. We think alike, we work alike, we really align on our belief systems, and we both have names that people never know how to pronounce. So welcome, Chanda Parkinson. She's a tarot reader, astrologist, and ritualist focused on helping others know themselves and their soul's path deeply. She teaches clients to harness and work with the magical and mystical aspects of themselves, build successful relationships with the other than human realm, and uncover and heal the root of karmic and ancestral trauma. She's the author of Meditations for Psychic Development. Chanda is fiercely committed to mentoring others in the discovery of their own spiritual gifts. And you can find about her work at chandaparkinson.com. That is chandaparkinson.com. Welcome to the show, my dear friend. How are you?
I'm so happy to be here. We're together on the spring equinox. I just find that incredibly cool and divinely inspired. So it's good to be back together with you.
It is wonderful to be back together. And I was going to say, but I didn't want to tropezarme. I didn't want to trip, that's the word, on my own words, as I just did. But for those who don't know, Meditations for Psychic Development was the first book that I got in my hands from you. And we did a podcast way back when, and that's how we met. And we strike this friendship and discover that we have a lot of aligning values and belief systems. And it's always a delight to be with you and to be talking with you and chatting on Lunatic Mondays. So how you been? It's been a long time. How you been?
Oh my gosh, I've been great. I've been wonderful. As things go, you know, as witches and healers and guides and teachers and all the things we do, we're in constant motion and paying attention to the cosmic forces around me. And then in the midst of all of that, I'm a mother. And so, you know, I have two teenagers, well, one preteen and one teen, and then one in college. And so I would say that, oh my goodness, since the last time we spoke, so much has gone on in my life personally. It's definitely, like everyone else in the world, it's been a mixture of lots and lots of challenges and lots of breakthroughs, transformation, and joy. So that's about it in a nutshell.
And I think, you know, it is impossible not to look at rear view mirror and think about the Pandora.
Yes, thank
all
you.
The stuff right. That happened and how we all have to reassess our priorities. And some of us were in survival mode for a long, long time. I think the better part of the last 4 years, it has been survival mode for the most of us. And then you finally get to kind of like breathe after 4 years, right? Oh, no pun intended. But breathe easy, you know, kind of like we're getting used of how the Pandora start ended, how the bug evolved, and now it's like such commonplace, right? Like, oh crap, I have COVID, and you know, people is just like, it has become a common thing. or heart goes out to all the souls that were transmuted through this horrible thing that happened. But
Yeah.
it really feels like a homecoming this year, doesn't it?
It does. It does. I'm seeing through my own personal practice as I work with others through the lens of astrology and with tools like tarot, I'm seeing people getting very real with their own grief and their own healing journeys from this past 4 years, as you said. And it does feel different now. I mean, I feel like obviously on the world, on the world stage, we are seeing some pretty devastating, traumatizing things that are in daily, very, very humbling, and to ground ourselves in those. But I do feel out of this kind of eye of the needle that we've been through, people are really finding their footing again. And as you said, taking a new breath, a deep breath. I think some of that is astrological, some of it is very deeply transpersonal and spiritual, and people are really willing to embrace new pathways, but they're also like clear what's important to me, what's important in the world. Wow, we've learned a lot as communities and society. So yeah, I agree with you.
And there's still a lot of powers in the world that need to learn more to like not genocide and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like to not annihilate a whole race of people just because you don't think they're the right people to live in that place. But we're not going to get so much into that. Unfortunately, the world just.
We'll have an offline conversation.
And we need to keep moving. And I am a true believer, Tiana, that people that heal themselves. Become the force of resistance to all the horrible things that are happening out there, you know, that you heal either physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, or all of it.
Yes.
And that's why you and I are so passionate about healing, right? How did you get into this whole healing business, astrology, tarot, and whatnot?
Well, didn't you know that I don't think we talked about this last time. We might have, but in a nutshell, of course, crisis and trauma brought me to the forefront of my spiritual gifts, and also surfacing a need, like out of a sense of desperation, because I was facing such tremendous loss in the late 90s with the death of several loved ones within a short time frame, you know, and as like, I was in my early 20s questioning everything, including my childhood conditioning and what I had been taught to believe about the afterlife. And like that's not unusual. Oftentimes I find that spiritual practitioners and healers have some or meet some type of crisis point before they sort of take a leap off into what's sort of natural as part of their soul gift. And that was what started it for me. I've just found myself feeling way more comfortable in the realms of the occult and spiritualism and witchcraft and a nature-based practice. I just found myself feeling a comfort, you know what I'm saying? And I didn't realize it until decades late, no, yet literally decades later, that it was just that, like I was really craving something that my soul had forgotten about, you know, from my ancestral lineage or from karmically, you know, and deep down in my soul, you know. So I'm very happy knowing that I've learned these tools. I've, even though I got a lot of pushback, being a kid from the Midwest in a small rural community, there was a fair amount of pushback. I lost friends, and I had, you know, I'm one of those that had to keep rowing upstream to keep true to myself. And so that out of that came, well, one of the most consistent tools, which was tarot. And that really was started what started everything for me. And so I hold that as my, that was a tool that kind of woke me up as a baby witch and kept me moving forward.
Where in the Midwest did you grow up?
So I grew up in a small town that is in north central North Dakota.
Okay.
About a couple hours from the Canadian border. As a matter of fact, we used to go sometimes in the summertime across the border to vacation in Canada, and I always felt way more at home in Canada than I ever did here. But anyway,
okay.
North Dakota.
I was thinking about when you said, you know, this crisis or this situation that pushes us into acknowledging our gifts or abilities. Which I believe, and I don't know if you will agree, that we all have these abilities, you know, like latent within
Yes.
us, and then something or someone comes along and then wakes them up and makes you remember. You know, there are ancestral memories that come back, in my opinion. And I was laughing because in Mexico, the belief system is that if you cross the threshold, if you die and come back, then your abilities are awakened, which I did when I was 3 years old. So I'm listening to you and I'm like, oh wait, I didn't need to die. You know, I got I choked with a chicken bone.
Oh my God.
That's why, well, now I don't eat animals anymore, but
Yes.
When I ate animals, I never ate anything with bones because, you know, that traumatic event. But anyway, and same, you know, I have disabilities in seeing things and feeling spirits and feeling the energies swift and change and ebb and flow. And this constant questioning of why? Why do I see things that other people don't see? Why do I feel things that other people don't feel? And what is the point? What is the point of this? And when I put my hands on the first deck of cards, that was, this is why.
That was it.
Because you need to tell people what you see. And though in Mexico is more culturally accepted,
oh, totally,
you still get a little, I mean, you're still the witch. Everybody comes to see the witch,
yes,
and everybody hides from
yes
being seen with the witch.
Yes.
So socially, you're still a pariah, for lack of a better word. But culturally, like, we are the last resort, and at the same time, the most powerful or impactful one, I will say. But anyway, isn't tarot the best thing ever?
Oh my gosh. Thank Goddess for this gift that is tarot. I've been teaching community education classes and easy tarot classes just for beginners, because my thing is, like, if you're just curious, you want to pick up, you want to try it, you don't have to have any, like, you know, like fancy classes or, you know, trainings to work with tarot, because the human nature and the human soul knows the images and or the symbols in tarot innately, because it's what's reflected in tarot are parts of the human condition, all of the experiences that we go through. Oh my gosh, you and I could gush and gush and gush about this tool and the varieties of decks and the amazing creation, you know, that it's become over time. We're so fortunate that it survived. It survived, you know, a few hundred years of going underground, and it's still here and emerged. So
I was telling somebody in my Olympias class the other day that, of course, science is now saying, like, oh, you know, energy continues after we die, is now scientifically proven. And me and all 5 million witches in the world are going like, duh.
Duh,
like,
we've known that. Yeah.
And then the common misconception is like, oh, you witches, you woo-woo people haven't caught up with science. And I'm like, excuse me.
Hello.
It's the other way around.
Thank you.
We have this knowledge that comes from the eons of time. Science hasn't been able to catch up with us.
That's correct.
And I say this very, very proudly, like, oh, well, you're beyond, you're outside of the realm of science. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, and leave it to you know, science to be like, yes, they finally caught up with witches, and then to claim, you know, the ultimate authority. Like, oh, because science says, no, don't get me wrong. I love science. Thank God we have it. Thank God we have thinkers who worked on our behalf to help us through a really awful pandemic and so on and so forth. So I am not against science at all. I find it amusing, just like you. Like we, yeah, hello. We've known, and you're just catching up to us now. So just call it. Like you're just catching up to us.
Yeah.
So.
So obviously science, I think, I don't know, 2, 3 years, maybe five, where they finally said, oh, the benefits of meditation and mindfulness and being present. And I'm sure your eyes roll all the way to Texas.
Totally. Oh my gosh. And there is a book, and I can't quote the author right now, but I have to say it's on my wish list. It's called The Neuroscience of Tarot. That is actually a scientific-based book. And I'm like, okay, we'll have to figure out how to like post the author's name, or I'll look it up when you're talking, so we can quote the author properly. But I found this and I added it to my wish list. And I'm like, you know, I don't have a need to quote science in this, but at the same time, I probably should read what scientists are saying about it, you know, and just see The Neuroscience of Tarot. Doesn't that sound fabulous? It's like, oh, heck yeah. Now authors are starting to actually incorporate this topic into their writing.
Well, the latest one is plants are sentient beings.
Yes.
Science just proved it. And I'm like, you mean you don't talk to your plants? Like, can you just say hi to the trees when you walk around? Like, you don't give thanks to your food when it goes through your mouth? Like, yeah, I don't know. But anyway, I good word of the old days. So life is just filled with paradoxes. Good word of the old days when science, medicine, religion, and spirituality were like one and the same.
Together. I know. Astronomy and astrology was all one thing. We didn't have to separate it out, but people got grumpy and had to divide it. And yeah, so no, I hear you.
And then you have wonderful people like Neil deGrasse Tyson, who, you know, the astrophysicist. He's not Carl Sagan, but he's and I made that joke because he told Pluto, you're not a planet, and I'm team Pluto.
Oh,
because I grew up with Pluto as a planet.
Oh, yeah.
But this man is constantly and consistently talking about the difference between astrology and astronomy and how one is good, the other one is not so good, and da da da. And then he goes and acts on Jennifer Lopez's thing as one of the signs, as one of the zodiac signs.
I saw and I'm that. Like, it's Taurus. Yep.
I'm like, I thought you hated this concept. I don't know. Life is just filled with paradoxes.
I know. That is so funny that you brought him up, because my husband, every once in a while, likes to poke the bear. We call it a poke the bear moment, where he sends me, oh, you know, a post on Instagram or a meme or a video or a, and Neil deGrasse Tyson was being interviewed by Stephen Colbert, and he talked about, this isn't a podcast on astrology, but he did talk about, you know, the assertion or the assumption that there's a 13th constellation, or a 13th zodiac sign, because there's a 13th constellation. Well, what astrologers have known forever is that there's a 13th constellation, but Western chart astrology is broken into 12 months of the year. It's seasonal, it's calendar, it's based on the equinox and solstices. And so he sits on Stephen Colbert's couch and he talks about this and asserts this thing. And it's like, hun, you're not an astrologist. So let's not talk about it. You stick to your lane. You talk about the things you know about. You are a brilliant astrophysicist, and I'm certainly not going to touch that realm. So, like, don't touch my realm. You know what I mean? But yeah, it's the, yeah, obviously the arrogance of astrologer or a scientist sometimes. But to his credit, he will sit down and he will have conversations with astrologists. He will have conversations with metaphysicians, and I give him a ton of credit for that. I just wish he would handle himself a little more properly when he's on a national talk show. You know what I mean?
He's arrogant, but he's funny.
He's very funny.
And I love his work. Don't get me wrong. I mean,
too.
I'm still
my kids love him too.
Yeah, I cannot deny I'm still Team Pluto, and I will always make that joke. Like you're. I saw it on a meme, you know. He tells Pluto, "You're not a planet," and Pluto replies, "You're not Carl Sagan."
And I do miss Carl Sagan. Anyway, RIP Carl Sagan.
I quote him quite often when he said, "Our ancestors were not very mistaken when they worshipped the sun and the moon, the earth and the stars." You know. And this show is about everything that you are. This show is about astrology. This show is about astronomy. This show is about our likes and dislikes. And this show is also about this wonderful book where you combine two, or maybe more, but in the cover, we have two of your very deep passions, which are meditation and tarot. For those who don't know, I've been told to be clear about the name of the book. So let me be very clear about the name of the book. The book is Meditation and Tarot. Connect with the cards to develop your inner vision by Shanda Parkinson, with a foreword by Barbara Moore, and is by the good old people of Llewellyn. And so the short name is Meditation and Tarot.
Yes. Yep.
Shanda Parkinson. And how I was telling Shanda before the show began, you all know we're recording. You all know we are recording. Don't pretend we're live. That I have had this idea of meditation, tarot, and yoga, right? And then suddenly I turn around and I see your book, Meditation and Tarot, and I'm like, what? And you know how I book in advance and, you know, like by my standards, I will probably be interviewing you on the fall equinox. And I'm like, no, we're going to move some pieces around and this needs to come out today. I'm so very passionate about tarot, obviously, meditation. I'm getting my feet wet, thanks to you and others. And how do you combine these two beautiful things together to create this baby, newborn baby book?
Oh, well, you know, yes, you are correct. You are correct. Meditation and tarot are definitely two passions. And the reason why I found them to be such brilliant, what I call them to be co-conspirators. They're co-conspiring with each other throughout the pages of this book to help one another is because when I was first learning the tarot, you could not hop online and look for, you know, resources. It was the late 90s. You know, there wasn't like this vibrant internet that we could go to connect and learn. And so I had to go into metaphysical shops and I had to seek out people to teach me and to help me. And I was kind of a solo ship at that point. Most people know when you embark on some type of spiritual awakening or journey, you are oftentimes thrown into it by unexpected circumstances. And then you're left to kind of figure it out and you're swimming and paddling and rowing and trying to sort out this process. And I needed a way to learn about this tool without having to take a proper formal class or to inundate myself with books and meanings and rote memorization. And meditation was a way to do that. And so I learned very, very early on that if I distanced myself from trying too hard to sort out in my left brain what the card was telling me, but instead centered myself in my heart and in my soul and listened to what the card was trying to tell me or sense or feel into the card, the cards and what they were trying to say, I was achieving much more success. And it was then becoming not just in a tool of the occult, but it was becoming a healing avenue and a healing path for me. So this book kind of accomplishes that in a way where it takes it from just thinking about the card to what it can mean so deeply and so personally as an avenue for personal exploration and healing. And so, and developing your inner vision, which I truly feel tarot does brilliantly. Yeah, so I needed a tool for people to take into their own lives and to be able to do it without. I think that's what all my books will do. It'll be like, hey, if you are unable to, or you don't have the resources, or you don't have the means, or you don't have classes going on nearby, you can have a resource that will walk you through a process from that's very complete, and will give you something to come back to over and over again. Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm rambling.
Absolutely. It's okay. That's why you're in the show, so you can travel. The thing about tarot and us professional tarot readers, like people like me who do it for a living, right? Amongst all of the other things that I do. If you live under a rock, but you've been listening to this show, but you haven't caught up to the fact that I'm a professional tarot reader, surprise! I'm a professional tarot reader. I'm also a lecturer, a teacher. I present workshops, teach bilingually. I'm a writer, blah, blah. But the gateway for me to get into all this wonderful world of teaching and lecturing and presenting and even doing the podcasts was the tarot readings. I, like I said earlier, have this psychic abilities, and I used to hate calling myself psychic because the word is so washed, so watered down in certain spaces. You know, so when people call me a psychic, I'll be like, I'm not a psychic, I'm a healer. And now I thank God as I grew out of that. Yes, I'm psychic. And I'm a diviner. I used to, you know, like, oh, I'm not a diviner. Yes, I am a diviner. I have a connection with the divine. You know, like, yeah. So the thing about people like me who are professionally doing a reading for you is we are giving you advice, counsel, unscrambling the information for you with our parameters of the meaning of the symbols for us. And in order to do a reading professionally, in my opinion, you ought to understand that the symbol that means something divine for you might be a scary symbol for the querent.
Yeah.
Or unfamiliar, right?
Right.
So you're paying us for the season and the flavor of the food that we prepare.
Ooh, that's beautiful.
You know?
Yes.
But you have your own seasoning. You have your own flavor. You have your own way to learn this thing. And if you, like Shanda say, if you don't have the means to pay a professional person, a person that does it professionally, this is a wonderful tool to integrate both meditation and the meaning of the cards. I love the artist collaborations and the decks that you chose.
Oh,
it
I
looks
do.
great.
I do too.
I cannot be partial. Is that the correct word?
Yes, that's correct.
I have a favorite. I love Sasha.
Oh, so do I. I knew you
can
were
you
gonna.
Imagine? Can you imagine a day with you and me and Sasha in the same room talking tarot?
I'm in. I'm in. I'm in. Let's. It's a date. It's a date.
Let's do it. Anyway, of course, the other artists and authors are just as wonderful. But the heart likes what the heart likes, right?
Yes. Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about how you choose to collaborate with this wonderful artist and why those cards?
So I I had Llewellyn, so that's the publishing company that I work with. Lovely, wonderful humans and team to work with. So Llewellyn Worldwide. When I had this idea and the concept for the book, I said, could you send me like the top 10 decks that are the most inclusive, that are and represent a very equal perspective, that are not super gender normative. I want things that are super inclusive. I want images that really can speak to everyone and anyone. And they sent me 10, and I narrowed it down. And I narrowed it down to, yes, yeah, Sasha Graham and Abigail Larson. Abigail Larson's the artist, but the Dark Wood Tarot was because of the depth of the emotional interpretation that you could bring and the universal themes that were so strong. And also, like, for those that aren't afraid to face their shadow side, this was such a beautiful deck for that. But then I was like, okay, so that's me. I love the dark. You know, I like going down that path, but some people might want something really light and playful. And so I found this light and playful energy around the Everyday Witch Tarot by Deborah Blake and Elizabeth Alba, because it sparked my curiosity. And it's now also one of my most used deck, because as a witch myself, I found the images to be super playful. Like, the Hierophant is a yoga instructor, and she's sitting in a room full of people, and she's just like, you know, wise being sitting there. And I thought, oh, the interpretation just flipped for me, and it gave it a whole new realm of meaning. And I found it very comforting, and for people that want to use it for their craft. And then it was, then I was like, okay, but then there are the sensitive, empathic people in the world, the watery beings in the world. And I wanted a deck that like reaches people down deep inside of themselves, and but in a whimsical spiritual way. And so that was represented by the Mermaid Tarot creators Lisa Robertson and Julie Dillon, who just put this beautiful, like, it's mermaid mythology, you know, in a deck, and so gorgeously representative of all like different ethnicities and colors of people and abilities. And so I was like, okay, I want to work with these decks, and that's what it got narrowed down to. So yeah.
And I don't want to give away all of the book, but I want to tell people, prepare yourself, because you're going to be working with all the tarot. Share as much as or as little as you want to share about the structure of the book.
Yes, so I really felt that a strength or a highlight of this book is, of course, offering as many meditation techniques as possible. And so the very first section of this book, which is pretty healthy, several chapters go to the ins and outs of how to meditate. So like, if you've never meditated before, I'm going to give you several options. For those of you that like to sit still or not sit still, who want to be silent or don't want to be silent, there are journaling exercises galore. You're going to have to lead up into, before we even get into the tarot, I'm going to give you several ways to think about how to work with your deck from a meditation perspective. The 1 minute meditation, for those of you that maybe are a little impatient, the 30 day meditation process with the tarot. Then we have a very deep, I'm going to enter into the story and meet the characters in the tarot cards. So we have that type of meditation. So that's like the first section of the book. It sets it up. Here are the materials you need. It's very practical. I'm a super practical teacher. I want this to be something fun, easy, and super engaging and relatable. Then we start to go into the section that is the major arcana. And for each of the major arcana cards, I wanted to have each of them to have their own unique meditation and process, because each of the cards are so archetypal. They represent parts of the human psyche, parts of our paths that we all, each of us goes through throughout the course of our entire lives. And it's a journey, really. And so I wanted people to who identify so strongly with different major arcana cards to have solid entry points, or if you're confronted by any of the cards, to have a really beautiful way to work through your own triggering with certain cards, to actually get acquainted with them on a deeper level. So when you come to draw cards and tarot spreads later, you have now built relationships with your tarot deck and your tarot cards. And it's that relational quality that takes them, kind of moves us into animism, which is like this belief that everything is kind of a living, breathing, things come to life and everything has energy and everything can have a relationship built with it. And tarot to me is no different. And so it's a very animist perspective of getting to know the cards as allies and guides and beings that can assist and help us along our path. For those of you who are astrologists or love astrology, each of the cards also has an astrological sign and a planet associated with it. You're going to be able to break down, if you love, as in your witchcraft practices, if you love working with the elements, you'll have elements to work with associated with the cards. And very direct. It's a very I'm not going to lie, it's a super structured framework. But then, like I state multiple times, if you take what works for you, leave behind what doesn't work for you. Not everything is going to be your jam, but hopefully you find some things to incorporate. Then the last part of the book, so it's kind of in three parts. The first part is the setup. The middle part is the major arcana. The last part is the minor arcana. And the minor arcana we're taking, and the court cards, we're taking as sections where we can work with the elements. So how to work with the swords, which are represented by air, how to work with, and then there's a meditation offered at the end of that chapter. Then the wands, how to work with fire, how to work with that element, what to think about when you're working with the wands. And then a meditation for the wands to get acquainted with those, and then the pentacles and the cups as well. So the court cards have their own little section and meditation. Every chapter is kind of like its own little guidebook through that section to reveal the greater patterns of the tarot deck. There's a bibliography at the end. So all of the things that I researched incorporate into my own life that I've read, that I've studied, my mentors and folks who I've read before. You know, Barbara Moore did my foreword, and her Gilded Tarot was one of the first decks I ever bought in the early 2000s. It was one of my, when I branched off from the Rider-Waite-Smith deck and I got courageous and I was like, I'm going to try another deck. Hers was one of the, and I worked, that deck is shredded. It's falling apart. I still have it, but it's just barely hanging in there. And so she's another Llewellyn author. And I thought, I wonder if she would write my foreword. And I contacted her and she immediately said yes. So you can read her thoughts. Those of you that are tarot enthusiasts and do have any decks by Barbara Moore and her creators. Yeah. So that's a little bit about the book. Super proud of, super
it
proud.
Is. As you should be, because it is, you talk about it being structure, and I know nothing about astrology, but my Virgo rising is very happy about the structure of the book. take this information, but use it gently. I'm a Cancer sun, Leo moon, Virgo rising. That's all I know.
That's great. That's your big three. That's your big three. That's awesome.
And I know the sun rises in the east. That's all I know.
All you know, it's all you need to know. You don't need to know anymore. That's and, enough.
Yeah. I mean, each person has to have their the thing, right? That you're happy, comfortable, and feel proud of. And I'm probably recognizing, you know, like astrology, know my thing. But I know my Virgo rising was very happy with the structure of the book. And even though you have this, like, as just quoting you, you know, strong structure to the book, it flows.
Oh,
it
good.
Really flows, you
good.
Know,
because
you have to have like some kind of order for,
yeah,
you know,
mm-hmm.
you have to walk before you run,
yes,
right? And I love books that have prompts for exercises, and tables for references. Because these are the books that you never put down. You will never put this book down because you have all these tables, all these references, all these correlations. Exactly. For those who don't know, she's showing me all the tables that are within the book and correlations and references. I do not use the astrological references of the cards when I read tarot because I'm not an astrologist. And again, right, that goes back to you pay me for the flavor and the seasoning that I put in reading. But if you need someone that does an astrological reading or that can implement that, of course, there's you. And I'm sure there's a gazillion and a half readers who are astrologers slash tarot readers, right? So, but the main thing is you can start learning by doing these challenges and reading this book. And it truly is not a tarot book. It's not a meditation book. It's both.
It's both. Yeah.
And
it was tricky. It was a long process to put together. And I had to keep reminding myself constantly, we're going to keep flowing between these two beautiful co-conspirators with one another. So we can kind of keep parsing out how they best support one another for growth and for change and to understand the self. I think meditation just does that so beautifully.
Yeah. And don't be afraid of meditation. You know, it's such a great word. And people be like, sometimes like, oh, but I cannot quiet the mind. That's the point. Just keep going. You know, like, don't be afraid. I promise you, I was afraid of meditation because I cannot keep quiet even if you pay me. You all know the 5 pesos anecdote. Can buy my silence. But learning meditation with your first book, that was a great introduction to, like, there are all these different techniques. And now we have these two darlings together, co-conspirators. For healing and for knowing thyself, the meditation and tarot. Meditation and tarot connect with the cards to develop your inner vision by Shonda Parkinson. Where are you going? Remember that this show is going to air on April 8th. So where are you going? What are you doing? Festivals, presentations, etc.
Oh my gosh. I just finished Paganicon this last weekend, which I got to do a meditation and tarot presentation. It was delightful. I'm going to have that loaded, locked and loaded and up on YouTube, on my YouTube channel soon. So Shonda Parkinson on YouTube, you will be able to watch that presentation if you like. I teach online classes and I teach community ed classes in tarot and meditation classes. I have some retreats coming up this summer. But I would say the best way to get to know me and what's happening is to visit my website and scan the events and classes, services pages. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. There's all kinds of freebies and wonderful content that is on all of those sources. So yeah, check me out. I love to connect with people. Send me an email. Tell me you heard me here and let's have a conversation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Utilize the resources. They're all out there. I have to remind people, Circle Sanctuary Network podcast has over 1,000 podcasts that we do for free because we love you. No, we do not get royalties. We do not get paid. Over 1,000 podcast shows that run freely on the internet. You can listen, you can download, you can share, you can keep for your archives. We have shows such as Circle Talk, 2 Tuesdays a month with Deborah Rose. We have Circle of Nature, the 3rd Wednesday of the month with Selena Fox. We have Blue Marble on the 3rd Friday of the month with Charlotte Bear. We have Songs of the Pagan Tribe with Kern Greenman, 2 Fridays of the month. And we have Paganos del Mundo, our international and multilingual show, with Christine Ortiz, Carolina Moore, Harwet Tuleva, Monica Govin in Spanish, Patricia Finkler in Portuguese, yours truly in Spanish. And obviously, we have Lunatic Mondays with Laura Gonzalez, 2 Mondays a month. And the next shows, they're going to be great. I mean, we're going to have Tudor Beth. She's coming to talk about her little book of crystals. And it's so amazing because we've talked about all of her little collection of little books, you know, the Llewellyn little collection, little books collection. And she's going to be here on April 22nd. On May 13th, we have my dear friend Dave Gaddy talking about his very new book, Small Magic, Little Magic. Oh my goodness, I forgot the name of the book. And we are already working to see if we can have Billy Topetate on the show. That's in the works. Don't repeat it. Don't tell anybody. It's not confirmed yet, but you know, we have a whole bunch of authors and wise people that will come to this show, Lunatic Mondays. And if you want to support me, especially, I had a very dire situation happen last month, and Facebook and Instagram, etc. It's a whole drama. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to share all that. But if you would like to support me, please. I do have an introduction to tarot course that is a pre-recorded course that you can purchase from me directly. Pace yourself, learn as you go, buy the course, read the book, work with them together. That'll be a great thing to do, if you will. And I also have other classes that are recorded from last year when I did the series, spell series, that you can buy. They're all on demand. Currently, I'm teaching a series, Chanda. I've never been prouder of anything else that I've taught in my life. I'm teaching this series of classes called Decolonizing the Goddess.
Ooh.
And they are exactly what they sound like. I am grabbing goddesses from old classic paganism, and I'm grabbing goddesses from America, the continent. As we all know, the name of this country is United States. America is a continent. Specifically for Mesoamerica, the area that is now modern-day Mexico, southwestern, southeastern, you know, the belly of the cornucopia that is Mexico, and the so-called Aztec goddesses. The correct name is Mexica Tenochca or Mexica. And we are kind of like stripping down the colonization, and introducing these concepts of these goddesses that are as valuable or more for some of us that know intimately the weather, the customs, and the traditions of what is now Mexico. For people to introduce goddess worship, goddess culture, goddess tradition, goddess philosophy, not only by a Eurocentric point of view, but by a totally planetary, cosmic, universal point of view. And stay tuned, because I'm also teaching workshops and doing women's circles and doing moon circles and moon ceremonies and doing a whole lot of things. But Facebook is censoring my content. So please, please, please help me follow my link tree, Magia Cerati, and all of that. Thank you, Shana, for, you know, listening to all my gazillion announcements. I am really very happy to have you on this show.
You're
a dear friend. I consider you a dear friend. And thank you for writing this wonderful book, for people to get to be introduced to self-healing.
Yes.
For when we heal ourselves, we become part of the resistance in the revolution. So the silent revolution that we need for healing humanity. With that said, I leave you the microphones so you can say goodnight to your audience tonight.
Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in to this conversation, for spending time with me, for getting to know me in this book and our conversation, which was beautiful. I know I'm going to be signing up for your goddess course. I I saw the one on March 10th, I believe it was, and I couldn't make it, but I will. I am so excited for that. So I know I will be there. and thank you so much, Laura, for having me here.
Thank you for being here. And just an addendum, if you didn't watch any of the classes live, you can buy them on demand because I recorded
Woo-hoo!
everything.
Right
Yeah,
on.
I love technology because you
I
can record everything and then just pack it and it's not the same, but yeah, but it is the same. It is the same because we record everything, the discussion afterwards, the interaction with all the other students, you get the whole experience. Anyway, thank you so much, Shanda. Thank you, Llewellyn, for being so generous and sending us all the books to review and to check and to invite people here. Please go support the CSMP page, Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast on Facebook or the Lunatic Mondays page, literally Lunatic Mondays. And until we meet again, my name is Laura Gonzalez. Never forget that you are loved. Mwah. Bye-bye. Lunatic Mondays is a production of Laura Gonzalez for CSN Podcasts, building bridges of community around the world.
Thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow nature-centered paths. Join us throughout the week for various programming connecting with the community around the world. Please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSN Podcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. Until next time, many blessings.